Connie Shaw is an author, international speaker, healing facilitator, life coach, workshop facilitator, humanitarian, and media guest. She describes her spiritual path as broad but disciplined and says she first heard the Om in her head when she was 3 years old. She saw angels in her childhood and began receiving apparitions of Blessed Mother Mary in 1980. Subsequently, she's received over 1,000 prophecies from Mother Mary, has seen Jesus, Archangel Michael, Kuan Yin, and many angels and masters. She was drawn to start meditating in 1975, became a student of A Course in Miracles in 1978, and has studied the holy books of the major world religions, including the Dhammapada, the Bhagavad Gita, Song of God, the Holy Bible, the Quran, the Yoga Sutras, and others. But although it has been said that knowledge is character, Connie says that a very wise person told her that, in fact, character is power, and she has come to know the wisdom of that statement. Knowledge changes every 10 years or so due to scientific breakthroughs, which change the way we view the world. But our character can strengthen as we selflessly serve those around us and thereby develop greater gratitude for our gifts, abilities, good fortune, and even for our adversities and challenges. It's through meeting them that we grow in discernment, persistence, surrender, love, patience, and thankfulness. The types of service work for which Connie is grateful have been tutoring non-literate adults, taking interfaith groups of people to India for healings with the famous avatar, healer, educator, and humanitarian Sathya Sai Baba, feeding the poor and the homeless, sponsoring orphans in several countries, being active in Rotary Club in Altrusa, leading interfaith prayer groups for 27 years, and speaking on inspirational topics in 11 countries. Connie has helped thousands of people in business, government, academia, the clergy, medicine, and industry to live more fulfilled, productive lives. There's no division between spiritual life and work or worldly life, Connie says. It's all life, all about love, integrity, harmony, and cooperation, and about the communities we create, which can be based on conflict or on the timeless human values found in all the faiths in the expression of peace, truth, love, right action, and nonviolence. When we are committed to integrity and to training ourselves to be happy, the doors of opportunity fly open in welcome. There's always enough work opportunity for those who spread seeds of love and who see their mission as being present, as the presence of love, in order to empower others to do the same. As old paradigms fall away, a new dawn of a golden age of peace and plenty unfolds. What a joy and privilege it is to be here at this time.
Hello, this is Connie Shaw. Welcome to the Interfaith Spiritual Podcast, Surviving Your Kundalini Activation. How many of you have ever had the experience of a tingling sensation in your cerebrospinal fluid? How many have read about famous saints and sages and mystics who've experienced kundalini over years or decades? My experience of kundalini is a personal one that spans 20 years, starting in 1988. I have had a variety of experiences, yogic cities, spiritual gifts, and insights that have come to me as a result of kundalini activation. Why do you suppose you might be interested in kundalini? Kundalini is becoming more ever-present on the planet now because of the fact that we are at an intersection of two great eras. The old Piscean dispensation of the past 2,000 years is dropping away, and the age of Aquarius is coming forward now. Ascension energies are also entering the planet. The golden age of peace and plenty has now begun and is going to last for 1,000 years. The chances are that you know someone very well, if it's not yourself, who has or who will experience kundalini activation. So what exactly is kundalini? Why is it important? What are some of the myths about kundalini energy? Let's talk first of all about what it is and why it's important. The Kundalini process or paradigm is based on the subtle chi or shakti energy, which in humans is coiled at the base of the spine. The evolutionary mechanism of Kundalini arousal or activation is a psychophysical spiritual process which moves vertically up through the human frame, generally in a zigzag fashion, and which usually takes years or decades to complete. It's often uncomfortable and even painful, and can be responsible for psychic phenomena, for spiritual gifts, for yogic siddhis, for intensified perception, for genius, for a creative outpouring, exalted inspiration, and a host of conditions, symptoms, and abilities. When the Kundalini Shakti energy is released smoothly in a healthy person, there's generally no great danger. However, when it is aroused prematurely through incompetent breathing exercises without an astute, experienced teacher, it can have disastrous results and can even bring about a psychotic break, aberrant behavior, hallucinations, violent actions, promiscuity, prolonged mental illness, or other difficult conditions. Kundalini can also be activated through an illness, through grief, a fall or an injury, an accident, or through incorrect yoga asanas or other mishaps. Most physicians are completely unacquainted with the process and its manifestations and are often all too ready to medicate, operate, underrate, or exaggerate treatment approaches, which can have unexpected and dangerous consequences. It would probably be safe to say that many otherwise normal people have been subjected through well-meaning, though uninformed physicians, therapists, psychiatrists, or family members to miserable lives of incarceration in mental institutions or nursing homes when they were simply experiencing a natural spiritual maturation process which will, in time, come to everyone. Because the Kundalini activation reverses the reproductive process, the fine stream of nerve energy, which is normally used in procreation, becomes sublimated. It's carried up the cerebrospinal system, irradiating the brain with an illuminating glow. Yoga asanas or postures, when correctly done, and observation of the breath can enhance the process, resulting in a more unified outlook, an expanded consciousness, and greater inner peace and overall health, and ultimately greater prosperity and sense of ease and acceptance of the divine plan. The display of genius, giftedness, or unusual creativity between Kundalini experiencers varies greatly. It can be said, however, that most people who have successfully completed their developmental tasks necessitated by the onset of Kundalini Shakti have made significant contributions to either their community, state, or nation through the wisdom and understanding which have come to them over the years of revelation which have been imparted to them as a result of their surrender to this mysterious, powerful, and most significant of life's paradigms. Now, there are many, many topics a person could cover in the discussion of Kundalini. We could talk about famous people who have experienced Kundalini Shakti, or the dangers of Kundalini specifically, or eating disorders caused by Kundalini, or the importance of water and exercise, and many, many other things. But since we don't have time for that now, what I'd like to do is answer a few of your questions in a section that now follows called FAQ, or Frequently Asked Questions. Before we start the frequently asked questions, however, I'd like to mention that people experiencing Kundalini usually at some point have either lost their appetites or have found that they suddenly develop lots of food cravings, carb cravings, or a desire for chocolate. Some of my friends have lost 20 or 30 pounds or have gained 20 or 30 pounds and feel totally in the grip of Kundalini Shakti. Now, let's address some of the questions that I normally hear.
Will a person have access to all knowledge in the universe after a Kundalini activation?
No, there are many, many myths, and some of them are really laughable. A person may have glimpses of new wisdom, but the expansion experiences can be colored by one's culture, religion, or spiritual path, prior disciplines or spiritual practices, fears, depth of faith, belief, and so on. Some people have lots of revelations and exalted fireworks, whereas other people have a rather quiet time of it if they're lucky. Generally, though, no matter how sublime the experience, no one can describe it adequately, and it's different for each person.
Well, what qualities are required to come through my Kundalini experience unscathed?
No one can guarantee how you will personally endure it or emerge from such a major demolition and reconstruction process. Some qualities and virtues are essential, and if you don't possess them now, most likely you will in time. And those qualities would be patience with yourself and others, compassion for yourself in the process, gratitude for your life, wonder at your complete lack of control, and awe that nature knows what she's doing and she knows how much you can endure during each cycle.
Well, I wonder, do both men and women go through this? And how about children?
Now, I've never heard of pre-adolescents experiencing it, probably due to the fact that they must first transit puberty safely, then their endocrine glands associated with the chakras must be mature enough to endure the strain caused by Kundalini. Men are beginning to undergo Kundalini. In times past, usually, it was only saints, mystics, rishis, or sages, visionaries, and spiritual teachers who had the experience. Now, as the new ascension energies are entering the planet from the sun, the solar system, and the galaxy, more people are affected and their Kundalini is triggered. This is further influenced by the moon phases, by eclipses, by comets, by weather fronts and patterns, by earthquakes, tidal waves, and by mounting volcanic activity on Earth now.
Well, have you had experiences with all of these things affecting you?
Oh, yes. I would say roughly that such things have occurred with me about 40 or 50 times minimally per year for the past 20 years. Now, when my backaches are very severe, I check the earthquake sites on the web to ascertain if there have been any major quakes in the past 24 hours, and there always have been. Further, a month before the great tsunami on Boxing Day, December 26, 2004, I was flat on my back in bed experiencing waves of energy up and down the spine, headaches, joint pains, and extreme nausea. The same thing has occurred during storms, weather fronts, and hurricanes. Now, more people are becoming earth change empaths right now.
Well, what do your Kundalini experiences and your responses to earth change activity have to do with each other?
As I indicated earlier, because the planet is going through a purification process right now, and every person on the planet is going to be receiving and has been receiving and processing ascension energies, that means that whenever the Earth has a spasm of some sort by way of an earthquake energy release or volcanic eruption, that we are pushed and that can affect the Kundalini energy in ourselves and exacerbate an already very challenging situation.
Well, thank you. What can be done to get relief from these Kundalini symptoms?
Excellent question. First of all, if you have any Kundalini symptoms, be sure to get a blood test and to ensure that you have no diseases. But don't get talked into taking medications which might not be necessary. Now, I am not a doctor and I don't prescribe. I'm only giving you the benefit of my experience over 20 years and the experiences and the insights I've received from coaching and counseling many people who have also had Kundalini activations. So my only advice to you is advice that I took myself, which is to stay off of painkillers and aspirin and other self-medications unless absolutely necessary. Each case is unique. So you'll need to experiment with your diet. For example, some people like to try more bland foods. You'll vary your sleep patterns. It's good to get out in the sunshine every day and to walk more. I found that just putting my feet on the earth helps to ground me and oftentimes causes the Kundalini activation to subside. I have found great results in trying Epsom salts baths, and I sample Bach flower remedies. I drink a lot more water when I'm in an activation period, and I've found that now I pray and meditate more often. I do certain yoga asana stretches, especially forward bends and side twists. And it's good, if you have access to it, to drink coconut water. This is something that Indians in the subcontinent really recommend highly. Some people benefit by taking wheatgrass juice. I notice that when I take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin B12 a day with 2 teaspoons of coconut oil, that I seem to have fewer stiff joints. Also, some people suggest wearing an amethyst crystal or putting your feet on a large amethyst geode or chunk, which grounds the energies. You might also find 2 large cobblestones and place them in the sun or a sunny window to heat them up, and then put your feet on them. Another thing that I often do is take a hot water bottle to bed and then move it around to different spots on my spine or to different joints.
Well, I'm wondering, do other people have any physical reactions when your Kundalini is activated?
For some reason, when Kundalini Shakti energy is roaring, either in men or women, other people of the opposite gender often become very stimulated, just as animals in heat prowl around each other. Now, both men and women can become sexually aroused to their embarrassment, shame, horror, discomfort, or delight. They may advance on other people and become very flirtatious, obnoxious, annoying, childish, or childlike, or shock those who know them. Or other people might find them very magnetic, regardless of their marital status, age, appearance, or lack of interest in response. Now, for example, some married, attractive grandmothers I know find themselves pursued by teenage grocery clerks, elderly neighbors, and strangers and colleagues when their Kundalini is active. Perhaps some pheromones are emitted during the Kundalini surges. I'm not sure.
Well, is it safe to be in crowds or to go to parties or gatherings when you're having an intense Kundalini activation?
You probably wouldn't want to do so for several reasons. You might start sweating, grunting, or panting in public. This has happened to me. You might suddenly find yourself reading minds and motives of other people. That's also happened to me. You can become empathic of other people's emotions, take them on, and find yourself suddenly drained. Also, people can turn on you suddenly with rage, lust, or cruelty for no apparent reason. That's also happened to me. You're not yourself at this time, and you can do strange things you'd later regret. You might become mean, sharp, or a show-off, or ridiculous. I found myself in this situation, I'm afraid to say also. You might suddenly find yourself weeping uncontrollably for no reason. You know, when I've attended meetings or gatherings while in an activated state, I've acted foolishly by being too talkative, or have been uncharacteristically terse or rude, or have raised eyebrows by being uncentered or even mean. If you must go out, take a roll of tape for your mouth and dress extra modestly.
Have you ever had strange emotional reactions to your aroused Kundalini?
Definitely. I found myself feeling, on occasion, briefly euphoric, briefly sad, or depressed at the human condition of regional conflicts, and impatient with the seeming short-sightedness of others and finding fault with myself for not having accomplished more in my life. All these reactions are, I believe, the attempts of the egoic mind to maintain control over us. As far as other people's emotional reactions to me, I've noticed primarily 2 themes. Women have exhibited jealousy or envy to me, which has perplexed me, and men primarily have tried to dominate me, patronize me, to marginalize me, or to interrupt me. I've had to stand my ground, but sometimes I just excuse myself rather than to use precious energy in a power struggle with someone who likes conflict.
What about your sleep patterns? Have you found any changes there?
Oh, definitely. Sometimes I'm sleepless, and sometimes I'll feel exhausted and will need to sleep for 10 to 12 hours.
Are your dreams more spiritual then?
Now that you ask, I have to say yes, and often prophetic and grace-filled. Sometimes I've been consoled by various saints in my dreams, and that's been comforting. But I have no idea if other people experience anything similar, and it doesn't matter since we're all so different. You must understand that there's no standard or comparison because we're not driving or controlling the process. In fact, it's more of an undoing than a doing. It's an allowing, a surrender.
Have you experienced any expanded capacities or abilities since this process started 20 years ago with you?
Yes, there were initially 84 symptoms or gifts or abilities which first occurred, which I've mentioned in my book, Wake Up Laughing. But in the interest of saving time, I'll just mention that my awareness has expanded, my people skills have improved, my writing is much easier, and I'm not so rigid and driven as I was then. I don't take myself so seriously now, and I see that everything is unfolding exactly as it should. Most things are just not my business. I'm much, much happier now. And truly love, like, and accept myself and most people that I meet. I live more in the present moment now.
How do you see your Kundalini process now compared to the way you viewed it in the early years of its appearance?
Now that is an excellent question. At first, it was sublime in the early processes and stages, and not very painful or inconvenient. I have to admit, I got rather puffed up with pride about it and considered it some sort of a badge of achievement or spiritual attainment. Now I realize that such a reaction was somewhat akin to a pubescent girl feeling very superior because of being the first in her circle of friends to experience the onset of her menses. She can't take credit for it, and sooner or later, all females and males will experience maturation. One eventually develops witness consciousness, wherein he asks, "To whom is this happening?" Ah, only the body-mind personality complex. I am not that complex. I am the vastness of being, and so is everyone else, though most haven't yet recognized it. That's just fine, and it is not my business.
Is there anything which has continued to surprise you in your process?
Yes, that so many people seem to need drama, trauma, and suffering, that they're so reluctant to release unsatisfying patterns, abusive relationships, dangerous behaviors, and that their capacity to endure unhappiness is enormous. It perplexes me, yet I know that I've been unaware in the past. Grace has expanded my awareness and deepened my compassion, so I can't take credit for my good fortune. I'm also surprised by the continuing inner revelations, which are part of the awakening process. There is no end to them.
Is there any final advice you'd like to give us about the Kundalini activation process?
Yes. Don't glamorize it or consider yourself in any way superior, because you're not. Further, don't get caught in the trap of wanting it to be over, or you'll suffer terribly and unnecessarily. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Keep your personal boundaries strong and spend much more time in silence and solitude. Keep a sense of humor and don't continually talk about your symptoms or complain. Others quickly tire of that, and if they aren't going through the same thing, they might think you're whining, exaggerating, or being a bad sport. Just wait until their turn comes. Then they'll know. But you might not be around then. Or, for them, that could happen in another lifetime. Finally, accept the fact that if Kundalini Shakti is going to be with you your whole life, you'll accept her presence graciously, learn to dance with her, accept her tantrums, and benefit from her wisdom.